chosen as some meaningful and important songs in the lives of our friends who were baptized. So thanks to them for choosing some songs that express our hearts this morning in worship. Well, yesterday I had the privilege of officiating at the wedding of John Dom and Julia Meyer. And that is a picture taken with a very old, very broken iPhone. So it's good we can see that. But oh, what a great day. It was so awesome. What a wonderful weekend. So I'm just so glad that you can be here this morning. We can share this together. But be praying for them. What a wonderful day. Some of their families here today as well, just following that. So we've been going through the way of Jesus, and I'm going to explain in a few minutes what that is if you've never heard of that, but we're going through these statements today in the way of Jesus, and today we're looking at character. And when I was in Bible college, I went on a missions team. It was called a SALT team, serving and learning together, and we traveled around to a bunch of different camps the whole summer. And one of the unfortunate parts of that was that I was on a team with an ex-girlfriend. And so, you've done that too? No? You get it. So that summer, I learned a lot about servanthood and doing some things when other people aren't looking and not caring about being told good job and things like that. I learned how to connect with God. I remember some deep times getting up at a camp in New York and going out and sitting on a dock in the sunlight before anyone else was up, and just really some transformative work in my heart. But God wasn't done with me, because I made a real mess of the team at times because of that relationship with that girl. And the team leader came to me about midway point through the team and sat with me. I remember exactly where it was, at Stainer Camp on a picnic table, and he started to go through some of the problems on the team and some of the problems he saw in my life. Now, I was so arrogant and into myself that externally I nodded and smiled, and I was like, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Internally, I completely dismissed. It wasn't even that I was angry. I was just above him, right? So you can't tell me. That's not me. It's not my fault. But man, the summer ended poorly, and poor Gavin had to be called and brought in, and what a mess, and I don't know why I'm pastoring now. So Just let it be said. If you ever wonder if God can, you know, take your character and change, I'm not done yet, but boy, I just wasn't ready to listen to the deeper things, and it wounded me. It hurt our team. It affected our ministry, because I wasn't willing to look at some of the deeper character things in my life. Now, you probably don't have to deal with things like that in your life, but you deal with character stuff all the time. Like at work, maybe someone's dishonest or difficult. You deal with that, their character in that. You encounter their behavior, but it's really the character underneath that drives that. Maybe at home, somebody gets angry and flies off the handle all the time, and so you deal with a character flaw in their life. Maybe you deal with it in a relationship when someone talks behind your back and it wounds you a lot. We all have things in our life that we know need to change, not just the behaviors, but when we're really honest and kind of in the quiet of our hearts, we recognize there's some things in our life and in our heart that need to change, some things that don't really look like Jesus. And that's kind of the first stage. And you can come to this place where you can recognize, probably if you were deeply, deeply honest, you would be self-aware enough to say, yeah, I really need to change in this area or this area or this area. And that's fine and well, and the self-help book industry is driven by that. There's nothing wrong with that. But the problem is, with all of the stuff we have out there, with all the knowledge and awareness of how we need to be improving and all this talk of mindfulness and whatever else, people aren't changing, right? People aren't changing. We can hear 100 sermons on the same thing, and we can say, yeah, that's me. And we frequently don't see change in our life. I've had that. You've had that. In Colossians 3, Paul gives a big list of some of these things. Listen, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you and the evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of the world, but now is the time to get rid of anger and rage and malicious behavior and slander and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. So you have been made new. If you are in Christ, if you've decided to believe in Jesus and you're now following him, you are made completely new. The old is gone, the new has come. Your old sinful nature is gone. You don't have these two natures inside wrestling with each other. You have old patterns of behavior. You've been upgraded. Okay, so some of you know this at work or school or home. You love upgrades. You're like, iOS 11 came out like 12:01 p.m. You're on the server. You're getting, you can't wait. You've been watching videos, all that stuff. Some of you don't like software upgrades, right? So if you had 2.0 and now you've been upgraded to 3.0, if you try and use 3.0 the same way you did 2.0, it won't work. Some of you have that at work. You're looking in the menus and why did they change this? And it used to be make so much sense and I could do this and things. It's the same way with our spiritual lives. We've been made completely new. It's all new. It kind of looks and feels the same, but it's different. And we try and do life the same way and it doesn't work and it's confusing. And so we have these character things that still hang around. They're called the flesh. They're old patterns of behavior and old patterns of thinking and old patterns of our character. And we have this default disposition. A default disposition is something where you don't even have to think about it, right? Something happens to you, you react. Now, sometimes when we're around others, maybe you don't, but I do, I behave differently. You know, you're being watched, and so you're on your best behavior, and so you can, you know, I had someone the other day say, you know, we're fighting, and then we got to where we were going, and the smiles came out, and we were fine. You know, we're fine with each other. How are you? I'm fine. Thank you. I'm fine. Thank you. Right? We do this. But we have these default dispositions when we're not on, like when no one's looking. And a lot of them are just old patterns. They're the way we used to be, but we're made new, but we're not living these new ways. And what does Paul say? Next verse. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. So the third statement of the way of Jesus deals all with all of this. I am learning to be like Jesus in my attitudes, behaviors, and character. I remember it, ABC. I have to have simple little triggers to remember it. I'm learning to be like Jesus in my ABCs, my attitudes, my behaviors, and my character. Now, the way of Jesus we described as a framework. So you've got this house of your life, you've got the foundation of your life, which really holds it all together. It's our calling in Jesus Christ. We're called to make disciples of all peoples. We find that it's called the Great Commission in Matthew 28 at Country Hills. We say it like this, people helping people follow Jesus. That's what we're all about. But then we have all this stuff in our life, the things God calls us to do and the ways He asks us to grow. And we look at that a little bit like the furniture of a life, the stuff that we interact with and touch and feel. And if we are missing a framework, then it's a kind of a hodgepodge. How do you know what to do next? How do you grow in Christ? What do I do? And how do I change my relationships and my behavior and things? And if you're like me, I need something simplistic. Not to silo my life in separate segments. We can do that, and that's the wrong thing. But just to organize things, a framework, to put it in rooms, as it were, so that when God is doing stuff in our lives, we kind of have a place to sit that. We don't forget that experience, but it creates that part of our journey and that part of our life with Him. And sometimes in a particular room, God will say, you're missing something. You know there's something lacking. You've got this piece of furniture in your life. You got to turf that thing. It's old. It's not helping you. You know it. Everybody else knows it, right? I heard this description of things when you make a decision you didn't really want to. It's like putting up Star Wars wallpaper in your kitchen, okay? So at the time, man, you're in. But then neighbors start coming over. They start looking at this, and you really only have two choices. You either admit your fault and say, yeah, that was pretty foolish, I better change that, or you dig your heels in, and you become defensive. And you start to work out, you know, your talk that you give to them of why you have Star Wars wallpaper and why it's better than their wallpaper. And you have this choice in your life. You have these furniture bits and pieces, things that God's saying, that doesn't fit in your house anymore. We got to get rid of that. I want something new and something better. And that's why we have the way of Jesus. It's a framework. It's just a simple seven-statement tool that can help you at least organize a little bit and get you moving in one way. And this is a really important way. And maybe if you've been churched for a while, if you've been in church, you've heard things like, you know, I need to be more like Jesus. What on earth does that mean? And in what areas? At least here, we're looking at our attitudes, like the way we think. Our behaviors, the way we act, and our character, that underneath driving force that shapes our character. Now, Colossians 3. Actually, let's look at the way of Jesus. We'll just go through this. Would you read this with me? Let's start with his life. I have begun following Jesus and am depending on the Spirit of Jesus in my journey. His mission. I'm being sent by Jesus to bless others and invite them to follow him too. This one this week, his character. I am learning to be like Jesus in my attitudes, behaviors, and character. His love. I am learning to love God and love others. His teachings. I am learning the teachings of Jesus. His disciples. I am helping someone and someone is helping me be a reproducing follower of Jesus. And his community. I am participating in a community of followers of Jesus on mission to the world. And so this is not like a cult thing. You're not like reading it now. It's just familiarizing with it. And so this week we're looking at the whole attitude of being like Jesus. Now, Colossians 3:10 gives us a clue. How do we change? How do we change to become like Jesus? I'm a big why and how guy. Tell me why, and then tell me how, and I'm all good. Don't give me those, and I'm going to question whether I should do it at all. So Colossians 3:10, put on your new nature, be renewed. How? As you learn to know your Creator and become like him, too. So as you learn to know God, you will become like him. The more you're around God, the more your attitude, character, patterns of behavior will look like Jesus. You know what that is? That's renewal. You will be renewed in your spirit to become like Jesus. Jesus gave us a different language and different illustration for this in John 15, but he's saying the same thing, and he gives us this term, and we're going to use the term remain today, but some of you will know that term as abide. And so he says in John 15, if you've got your Bibles, turn there, John 15. We're just going to look at the first four verses. I encourage you to look at them all. If you're in a small group who's going through the questions about each week's sermon, you're going to look at that whole chapter this week. So read the whole chapter this week, but we'll just look at verse 1 to 4 for right now. John 15, 1 to 4, and you can see it on the screen if you don't have your Bibles or apps with you. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do not bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, there's that word, and I will remain in you. Is Jesus saying, look, if you stay close to me, then you're still saved, but if you wander from me, you're not. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, remain in me, and I'll remain in you. You stay close to me, you're going to look like me. My words will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. I am not a good gardener. I'm not a good gardener. But Jesus shares this simple illustration to people who understood some things. In fact, most scholars believe that while he was sharing this, he was walking through vineyards, because at the point in time he teaches this to his disciple, he's had his Last Supper. Judas has gone to go and make arrangements to betray him. He's on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he'll be betrayed, and he has to pass through the Kidron Valley over to the Garden of Gethsemane, and there's lots of vineyards there. And so probably Jesus did what Jesus always does. You know, he's teaching, and he sees something, and he says, hey, this should remind you of this. Here's a deeper teaching about that. And so he's walking probably through vineyards, and he says, you know, your Father in heaven, he's the gardener. I'm the vine. You're the branches. We want to produce some fruit in you. So you don't have to be a master gardener to understand this. But the point of it all is your life needs to be growing and bearing fruit. So Galatians 5 tells us about some of these fruit. Some of you will be able to recite this from memory. Some of you not, and that's okay. But these are some of, not all of, some of the things that God wants to bring out of our lives. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, right? The Holy Spirit. When you become a Christian, God's Spirit comes in you to help you live like Jesus, be like Jesus. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against these things. You know the crazy thing? Everybody, regardless of their background, stage in life, where they grew up, the time in history they grew up, their religious background, everybody wants these things. These are things we want. They are basic to our human nature. We all want to be loved and to love others. We want to experience joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. In fact, I'll make kind of a broad statement. Do you know what sin is? Sin is simply going after these things, these good things, in a way other than God intended. It's going your own way to get them, and it creates a big mess. And so Jesus says, look, I want these things in your life, not just so you'll have abundant life and a good life and all the things that I promised you you'll experience, but because it's going to impact the world. It's going to make for a better world, a world where people experience me and follow me. So if you want those attitudes, character qualities, these patterns of behavior you see here in your life, what does he say? Work harder at them. Get a system. No. He says, remain in me. Colossians 3 says, spend time with God, and then you'll look like him. Isn't that interesting? Remain. He says, if you want to have this fruit in your life, it's really simple. I am the vine where your life comes through. The nutrients, all the stuff you need comes through me. If you stay connected to me, then two things are going to happen. One, you're going to bear fruit. Two, my Father's going to prune you so you bear even more fruit. As a branch, you need to stay connected or you're going to wither. Okay, if you don't stay connected to the vine, you're going to wither. That's just a reality. We can all understand that. You snap a branch or snap it a little bit, whatever's past that point is going to wither and die. Now, God can graft you back in. There's other parts that, in Scripture that use that illustration a little bit more. But if you're laying on the ground and the vine's over here, there's no use complaining, boy, I don't see any of this fruit in my life. Things are pretty hard. I feel distant from God. I don't think God is real. I'm going to doubt God. Some of our experiences are very difficult to reconcile if we don't spend time with the vine. We're not connected because we're missing out on life. We're experiencing death and withering, and we're sometimes calling it life, and it doesn't make sense. And that's a pattern I see again and again, especially in people who are committed at church and really involved in the activities and programs of the church, but neglect the deeper things that all this is about. It's about your relationship with Jesus and how you connect into his mission as a follower of Jesus. And so if you're not connected to the vine, your life is going to wither. And a second thing happens that people sometimes don't understand is that God comes along and prunes you. If your life is overgrown with all this dead wood, all the things that Paul just talked about, if you have impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, anger, rage, harsh behavior, gossip, dirty language, etc., hanging around still, and you're defaulting to that and not living who you actually are in Christ, it's going to make a mess of your life. You know what happens when you've got overgrown stuff? All the nutrients that are coming from the vine go out and spend time there to rebuild it. So you have a mess of your life. Right, you're spending all your time spinning your tires in the old patterns of behavior, and things are going poorly, and you can't get over it, and you can't get past it. And when you're confronted about it, sometimes you're like, oh no, God, not that one. I like my Star Wars wallpaper just where it is. Don't you understand? It's part of me. And God's saying, look, it's sucking the life out of you. You want abundant life. You have heard that I'm going to give that to you. But you're not connected to me, and you won't let me cut off the dead stuff. So we're at a little bit of an impasse, and I see so many followers of Jesus stuck there. And I've been stuck there many times. So this is not a judgmental, hey, I'm better than you. This is, I'm on par or less of where you are. Absolutely. I struggle with stuff, and there are times when God says, that dead wood's got to go. And I cling on, and I defend, and I say, don't you understand this person did this? So I'm reacting and I'm justified. But when we spend time with Jesus, when we take in his words and life and his strength, we won't be withered. And we'll bear much fruit because God will prune off the other stuff. I want all of you to be able to say, I am learning to be like Jesus in my attitudes and my behaviors and my character. Here's how it works. When you have an old default disposition, to how you think and how you react, without effort or thought, it just happens. So, for example, some people who are wounded lash out for revenge. Some people are stressed, might default to addictive behaviors to cope. Some people who are afraid and anxious fall into compulsive or irrational behavior. Now, these all happen without a plan. You don't mean to do those things. You're just stuck. You're stuck pouring nutrients into this dead wood, and you're wondering why it doesn't bear fruit and why your life isn't changing and why you can't replace these old patterns. See, revenge is actually just seeking justice, and God is all about justice. He said, look, leave it up to me. I'll make things right. Don't you seek revenge. Addiction is actually just about self-control, and that's one of the fruit of the Spirit. God knows you need that and wants that, and he can help deal with deep-seated inner things that need to be dealt with on his level, in his time, as you spend time with him. And compulsion seeks stability. I can list a whole bunch of other examples, but those are just three. But when I spend time with God and I take my woundedness and my stress and my anxiety to him, whatever I'm going through, here's what happens. He gives me a scripture or a word or a conversation or a song or something, a sermon. He gives me something because I've asked. When I ask, later in John 15, it says, look, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask anything you want in my name and you'll have it. This isn't like Santa Claus here. This is like when you remain in me and we're connected, I've given you some desires for good things. It's fruit, and I'll give it to you. Just ask. And so God will give it to you. And so when I'm wounded, my nature or my old patterns of nature, my old patterns of behavior wants to draw me in that same revenge, like right away. But when I take that in, I sit and I listen, God says, no, look at this story in the Bible, or consider this, think this different way. And he transforms our thinking and our desires, our character. And he says, try it this way. And so I try it that way. And you know what happens? The more I go to God personally and Jesus speaks to me personally, I'm changed. I'm absolutely changed. So John 15:7, if you ask anything, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask anything you want and it will be granted. Now there's an interesting thing about the word words. Okay, that's a Greek word. It's called rhema. There's a few different words in the Bible for a word. Rhema is one of them. This isn't saying if you read your Bible, the general word of God, and keep the general word of God in you all the time, that you may ask anything. See, the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they did that. They would do things like they'd write verses out and tie them on their foreheads and tassels and stuff. That was an Old Testament command to teach a principle to get it in your heart. This is deeper than that. It's not that Bible reading isn't good, but Jesus is saying, I want you to go deeper than that. I don't want you just to open your Bible and, look, I read my chapter or my three verses and I checked it off and good. I opened up my devotional or whatever I'm doing and I feel good and I'm going to move on. He's saying, look, I'm going to speak words that are just for you. So let me give you an example. I teach this in Hearing God. So if you want to know more about listening to the voice of God and obeying, we do that in the spring. It's called Hearing God. And something like this, the difference between a rhema word and just a regular word. I can say I love you to all of you. And you can understand that and say, that's nice. It's good. It's great. Meh. Right? Because sometimes you open the Bible and you read a story, you read something, and you say, that's good. That's nice. That's good truth. Meh. Right? That sounds really irreligious and sacrilegious, but it's true. Most people have been there. But what happens when I say I love you to Stephanie? The same words take on a different meaning. And when you open God's word and it hits your heart and you know it's for you that day, it's different. It's my words remain. And so remaining, you go back again and again. And guess what happens? That attitude, that default disposition starts to change and I start to work a different habit. Now, I have to be willful about that because I'm not just going to, the next time I'm wounded, not seek revenge, for example. But every time I go back to God and he changes how I think about something and he pushes me into a different character, a different way and pattern of behavior, and I willfully do that, guess what happens if I do that enough times? If I remain in the vine, he changes my disposition. He cuts off that dead wood and fruit starts to grow. Not because I've worked hard at changing that area, but because I've worked hard at staying connected. And that's the trick. That's the oxymoron here, keeping the rhema word in you. And look what happens. When you hear Jesus speak specifically to you about your life, sometimes it comes through the Bible or a worship song, or you're praying, you get a sense in your heart, or you're journaling, and there's a song, or someone says something, you're in your Bible, say, God speaks in all these ways, and he wants to speak. He wants you to know, this is for you, and he whispers in your heart. Look at this. Your anxious heart experiences peace. Your empty heart experiences fullness. Your lonely heart experiences love. Your sad heart experiences joy. Your despairing heart experiences hope. And we can put a list a million words long. It changes you because you're changed.
And so your experience and other people's lives are changed around you. God just doesn't just want you saved and working hard to be good people. That's not what this is all about. Jesus died to give you life, full life, and that means you have to be connected to the vine to bear fruit, to experience abundant life, and to fulfill his mission. They happen at the same time. So are you learning? Are you specifically taking those things that need to change and spending time with God? I am learning to be like Jesus in my attitudes, my behaviors, and my characters. We'll be different when we do that. That's why we get baptized. Man, we get baptized to be reminded. And Darren, thank you for reading that scripture. Like, will God not love you when you wander, when there's persecution, or when there's bad stuff? No, that stuff's going to happen. God still loves you. It's a reminder to look back and say, I know I have a new nature. I know I'm new. I know my experience isn't saying that, but I'm going back there. I'm pressing into Jesus. I'm reconnecting to the vine. That's why we have something like Set Free. There's some details back here. Look, in a month's time, Set Free is a Friday night and Saturday where we just deal with these inner character root things. We ask God, what's the dead wood in my life? Help cut that off. And we begin that journey. We call sin, sin, and we get in some groups of two and three, and we pray for each other and work it out. You need to go to something like that. We seek God for some inner healing, not just behavioral modification. I want Jesus' life. I don't want to be a good person. And that's what you want too. Sometimes we just don't recognize it. So let me take you a little bit into my journey in this just as we close. So I'm involved in a mentoring group for pastors on Wednesdays. Every Wednesday I'm online for an hour with a group of pastors throughout Canada. And right now we're working on character because, as I've said, I have character stuff that God still needs to get a hold of. And so I was given this steps to initiate character change, character growth. And so I've been working my way through this for at least a month. Choose a character trait. So we looked at different verses of Scripture. And for me, it was a particular way that I express love or don't express love to others. Pray for that trait. Pray daily. So sometimes I forget when I'm going through my prayer time to pray specifically for that. But almost every day, I'm praying over that. I'm praying specifically for that in my life. Listen in prayer for practical steps. My prayer journal is full of this. God, you've said I need to love people better in this area. How do I do this? Why do I need to do this? How do I do this? Why do I need to do this? Again and again, I'm looking for him to change my mind about how I think about this and change my patterns of behavior so that my default disposition is his. It just comes naturally to lean in the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so I've been doing that. Set your eyes on eternity by meditating. Throughout the day, I ask God, like, bring that back to me. Help me remember to act differently. Confess any bitterness. That's the hardest thing, man, where I have to sit with God and go, what's the root? Like, I can't see it. God, where's this coming from? Can you cut that off? I need to confess that. And I have to either say, yes, the Star Wars wallpaper is a bad idea. It was me. It was always me. It just shouldn't be there. Thank you, God, that you've shown it. Help me rip it down. If you got Star Wars wallpaper, I'm sorry. It's okay. We love you. All right? Or I have to say, God, it's not that bad. I'm not bitter. I'm justified. Because don't you understand, God? Don't you really see in my heart who I am and what I've been through? And you don't get it, do you? I only have two choices. I'm either softened and changed to be like Jesus, or I'm hardened and left to my own devices to try and initiate some self-change. And it doesn't work. Receive inner healing. That's just when I continue to press in to the vine again and again and allow God's word and his words to affect me and others to speak into my life. Tell someone, ask for their prayers. That's what I'm doing. Pouring my heart out, even though it's online, and getting some advice and saying, look, I see it this way. Am I like way out in left field here? And sometimes God is saying, you know what? You're a little overly sensitive about this. I've already done some work here. Let's start moving. And sometimes he's saying, you're a little overly defensive. You need to confess some more stuff. You need to repent of that and turn in another way. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. All that means is day in and day out, when I'm faced with this, when I'm tempted to just have that default reaction because it's something I just do, this old pattern of behavior, I'm using the old software, I'm used to it, it's very difficult to change, I just say, God, I can't change. Like, I can't do this. I need you in this moment to help me, to guide me. Give me a word, tell me what to do, give me a verse, give me anything. I don't care. I need you. I'm lost without you. I have no life without you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Learn and memorize scripture about your traits. So I've been learning in 1 Corinthians 13 and going in a new version. So it's different. I've been learning, you know, love is patient and kind. It is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not delight in evil. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. Okay, it's a different version than maybe you know. It doesn't keep a record of being wronged. It doesn't rejoice when it encounters injustice, but it rejoices whenever love wins out because love never gives up. And love always has faith. And it always hopes. And it endures through every circumstance. And so I can say that in my heart in those moments. And there's a particular phrase in there that God brings me back to again and again. And I can keep in step with the Spirit and pray against that when I'm tempted. I can take spiritual authority over that in my life and in my day. And God is changing me in at least that area. You know, if you went to my house or if you were able to pick around my heart or brain, you would not be impressed. Right? Because I'm human and I'm growing, but I'm telling you this. Being intentional about following Jesus by using the way of Jesus and doing things like this, they're just tools. But they're helping me get to where I need to be. And things I haven't experienced in my whole Christian journey. Things I always knew but never was doing intentionally. And so the reason and the only reason we're going through all this isn't because it's great and it's connected to the denomination and it was an easy sermon series. Because look, I got 7 weeks done. Excellent. It's because it matters. I don't care if you use this tool or not. I don't care if you use this tool or not. I care that you are connected to the vine, that the branch of your life is receiving life from Jesus. And if that's not happening, you're withering. And if you're not going to God and saying, what dead areas of my life are sucking the life out of me? I see some people spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning in the same area for days and weeks and months and years, and they don't grow and they don't change and they begin to be withered and bitter, and they're blaming God and saying it's not real. When all they need to do is get to know God, get to know Jesus, and you'll become like him. I want you to remain. I just want you to remain. So I'll just close with this morning. Does anyone have, you know, like grapes in your backyard or anything like that? Vines or grapes? Okay, like a handful. All right. So for the rest of us, all right, pumpkins grow in the same way as grapes. Pumpkins and vine, pumpkins and gourds and all that. They grow in vines. They work the same way. They're cut off from the vine, the branch cut off from the vine, it doesn't grow. It needs nutrients. If you're going to grow the 3,000-pound whopper, right, you've got to feed it the right stuff. It's got to be connected in. It can't be cut off. It'll wither and die. Whenever you see pumpkins, gourds, any of that stuff, maybe even eating pumpkin pie today, I want you to be reminded. I want to place a seed in your mind. Press into Jesus. Remain in him. Go back to him. It's always one step back. It's always one step back. Whether it's the first time you've believed in Jesus and said, I want to check this out and I want to follow you. Or whether it's the 89 millionth time you come back about the same issue. And God loves you because that doesn't change. And he says, this time let's do it different. Every other time you've set about a pattern and you've said, I'm going to do this and this and this time I'm going to get better on my own, and then you fail and you fall and you falter. This time let's do it different. Press into me. Spend time with me. Get up early in the morning, stay up late at night, pick a time during the day, come to me every day, all the time, not just in quiet time, but throughout the day, and see if it's different. Remain in me, and my word, my rhema, will remain in you, and you will be like me in your attitudes, in your behaviors, in your character. Would you join me in prayer this morning?